Moncrief on News Talk.
It's mushroom season. This is the time of the year when people going foraging for their favourite fungi. But beware, while there are many varieties in Ireland that are delicious and of course they're free, there are many more that could make you ill or leave you staring at the ceiling for 8 hours. Anya Murray is an ecologist and author. Anya, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So is this mushroom picking season? What is mushroom picking season?
Yeah, mushrooms tend to fruit. The fruiting bodies come up around August, September, October. Now, mushrooms do grow all year round, but now is when we get the most abundance. And it's the best time to go picking lots of the really tasty edible species that grow in the wild.
And if one goes mushroom picking in Ireland, leaving aside how many of them are edible, how many are there in total?
There are an estimated 7,000 species of mushroom producing fungi. So fungi is a much broader category, and only some of them produce the fruiting bodies that we know as mushrooms.
Okay, right. So, but it's mushrooms we'd be looking for rather than any other sort of fungi, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, there are bracket fungus as well that people do eat. So they're not a typical toadstool. But yeah, mostly we eat mushrooms.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's about 20 species in Ireland that are common and good to eat. You know, they're the ones that are probably worth learning to identify and harvest from the wild.
How many could kill you or make you really ill?
There are many. So there's a whole range. I mean, there's only a handful of species that would be really, really acutely toxic, like that would kill you. Obviously, it depends on the quantities. But there are lots of mushrooms that would not do you well. You know, some can cause liver damage or kidney damage. Some can just make you feel unwell. I once ate a whole load of chicken of the woods mushrooms with a friend who had harvested them. And I trusted that they were expert and they knew what they were picking. And lots of people eat chicken of the woods with no ill effects. But I tell you, I did not feel well at all. So some, you know, disagree with individuals. There's others like this. There's a type of ink cap mushroom, which is really good to eat. And it's not toxic at all. But as soon as you consume it with alcohol, it becomes very severely toxic. So there's so many ins and outs to mushrooms. It's worth learning a few things about them before you venture into the world of foraging and eating wild mushrooms.
And how many varieties of mushroom are there out there that would be loosely classified as magic mushrooms?
There are quite a lot. I don't know the actual number, but there are certainly a handful of different types of mushrooms. I mean, people would have heard of the Liberty caps or the small hallucinogenic mushrooms. But there's other species as well, some which need some treatment before you can take them because they can be toxic.
Yes, one would have thought so. And is it true in Nordic countries they drink reindeer urine if they've eaten a bad one?
That's right. Yes, there is this well-known mushroom. Do you know the one that's red with the white spots? It's like the fairy tale mushroom, the fly agaric. And that is very, very toxic, but it's also quite hallucinogenic. So there's stories of the Tán and the warriors in ancient Ireland, and they used to harvest this and feed it either to people like their slaves or animals and drink the urine. And in that way, you get rid of the toxicity, but you get the hallucinogenic effects.
Okay,
are stories of people in Nordic countries as well who would feed these mushrooms to their reindeer, harvest their urine and drink it and get the hallucinogenic, but not the toxic effects.
Anything for a good night out, I suppose. And now for people who are picking and looking for a non-hallucinogenic and non-toxic mushroom, are they easy to identify, Anya? I mean, could you just like look up a picture and you'll be grand?
No, they're really, really tricky. And for even people who have some expertise in this, there can be species that look quite similar that aren't the same. So there's as much variety in the world of fungi as there are in plants. You know, the difference between a tomato plant and an oak tree. But some of them look very, very similar. So the advice is always, even if you can identify it in a mushroom identification book, and you're very sure that it's the right one, and you've done what's called a spore print, and you've looked at all the indicators, You're still supposed to go and look it up in a second mushroom ID book and key it out again just to make doubly sure. So I would always say that people should go on a foraging trip, like a guided trip with an expert. Like there's the Association of Foragers, people who are members of the Association of Foragers are accredited as such, and they can help you learn about foraging, teach you to identify the really good edible species, as well as which species to avoid, the toxic or the deadly fungi.
Yeah.
And then good guidebooks. They say to have several guidebooks.
Is there, what way are you supposed to, do you pick them, just pull them out, or are you supposed to cut them out?
Ideally, you'd have a small knife, so a wee foraging knife, and make a good clean cut across the stem.
Right. Do they, do truffles appear in Ireland?
They do. Yeah, my dog actually dug up a truffle once years ago in a lime tree in the garden. I don't know that they're as common as they are on the continent, but they do grow in Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah. And are there parts of Ireland where you'll do better than others in terms of mushroom foraging?
There's such a different variety. Like there's mushrooms like field mushrooms that everybody will know, those gorgeous big, they're a foot wide, those white mushrooms. Field mushrooms grow in grasslands all over the country, but some species are very specific to woodland environments. Some are specific to lowland grassland. Some are specific to acidic habitats. So it's not that there's one place, there's just there'd be different mushrooms in different types of habitats.
And I assume the different types will taste differently.
Absolutely. I think we're all kind of used to the mass-produced button mushrooms here, which aren't necessarily that tasty, whereas wild forage mushrooms have really tasted, that they taste so differently. Like I'm mad about the chanterelles. They're those yellow mushrooms, and they taste absolutely beautiful. There's also the ceps, that's C-E-P. They're what they call the porcini mushrooms in Italy, and they have a really strong, woody kind of taste. So yeah, there's a huge variety of flavour that most of us just don't get because we're quite limited in the variety of mushrooms that we tend to eat here.
Yeah, I think button mushrooms don't taste of anything.
They don't really. No, I mean, you can roast them up, or you can cook them in a soup. There are ways of bringing out the flavour, but they're quite watery and they're certainly not strong tasting. Yeah.
Yeah. Anya Murray is an ecologist and author. Anya, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sean. Lovely to talk with you today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.